T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And every Friday, we speak with a representative of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which, full disclosure, I am a member of. Today, we are joined by the Veterans of Foreign Wars Associate Director for National Legislative Service. She is a Marine Corps veteran and an Operation Enduring Freedom veteran. She is Kayla Kelleher, and she joins us on the morning briefing right now. Good morning, Kayla. How are you?
Good morning. It's early in the morning. How are you?
It's early, but for us, you know, Jake and I, we've already been up for quite a while at this point. So it kind of is unsettling for a lot of people that we have the amount of energy that we do as early as it is. But the good thing is it gets us to be able to talk about all the fascinating things that are taking place around the world of veterans. And we've spoken to you before, Kayla, on the show. And, you know, some of the issues that we talked about with you last time are still issues taking place within the veteran community that some of them look like they're finally being addressed to some extent, one being the issue on mental health and opioids. There was a hearing yesterday. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so 2 years back, right, 2014, there was a VA crisis. I won't bore everybody with talking about things everybody already knows.
Right.
Overall, this our country as an entity has a opioid epidemic going on right now, and VA was not not exempt from that epidemic by any means.
No.
So last year, Congress and VA worked together and they passed what is known as the CARA Act. More specifically, within the CARA Act, there is a section that is specific to VA. Before this, they were working on implementing the Opioid Safety Initiative within VA. So now, you know, skipping all the boring stuff, here we are in 2017, and VA is actually prescribing opioids at half the rate of what the private sector is. Hmm. So we're at a point now where you have private sector providers actually coming to VA and asking them, like, hey, how did you guys do this? Can we get your guidance? But not every VA patient is strictly seen at VA, right? We do have community programs. We have the CHOICE program, PC3, things of that nature. So back on July 30th, a report came out that showed these community providers are actually not necessarily falling in line with the Opioid Safety Initiative at VA, and they are prescribing opioids to veterans at a higher rate than VA is as well. So yesterday's hearing was to discuss that and kind of see, you know, what needs to be done to make sure that these community providers who have contracts with VA are falling in line with VA guidance to avoid opioid misuse and over-medication.
Yeah, and there is, you know, it's good to hear because all we hear about is the problems with opioids, which, you know, again, we understand that they're an effective medication. They're also very addictive. They can lead to other problems. It's good to hear that there's actually positive movement within the VA and they're prescribing, at such a lower rate than what they were doing. But it seems to me like we can improve even more on that. What do you think the road is to cutting back even further on the number of, essentially synthetic heroin is what opioids are, cutting back on the amount that that's being prescribed to veterans?
Completely agree that there are definitely times when opioids are necessary. And also completely agree that we are over-utilizing them, right? There are different alternative or complementary, as I like to call it, less stigmatized therapies and medications that people can use, right? Key is that we need to begin educating patients so that they understand why opioids are possibly not the best option for them, and then as well as what different type of options that they have, and you need to empower those patients. So it's a decision made not just by their provider, but between the provider and patient. Also, to be able to do that, we need to continue working on research and expanding the horizons of what those complementary therapies are. there's studies out there now to look at what different pharmaceuticals may work. There's also, you know, a lot of times opioids are prescribed for chronic pain, and chronic pain is like the number one comorbidity that comes with PTSD. So what type of treatments do we need to look at with that? Do we need to continue researching whether it be a service animal or whether it be medicinal marijuana? We need to continue with the research and be a little more 2017 about it, I suppose.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the big things. And we're speaking with Kata Kelleher. Kata is the Associate Director for the Veterans of Foreign War's National Legislative Service. And, you know, when we've talked about marijuana, it's become a bigger issue. It keeps growing. There's more and more momentum behind it. How close do you think we are to the VA actually being able to not even prescribe it, but just take a look at marijuana as a possible therapy? Do you think that that's something that's in the cards for the near future? Or are we still a ways away on it?
You know, I might be wrong here, but I am very optimistic of research coming out. VFW is very supportive, and we've been pushing Congress and VA to see a research study done for medicinal marijuana. We think it would be extremely effective when it comes to opioids and pain management. Or at least we think that it would be extremely effective to have research that tells us if it's effective or not, right? Now, currently as it stands, VA does have authority to do Schedule I research. They have not yet. So Congress actually sent Secretary Shulkin over a letter asking him, hey, why aren't you doing this? Hey, we want you to do this. What are the barriers for you to do this internally and externally? Tell us so that we can fix those so that you can actually start doing it. And that letter was actually due this week, and Congress hasn't received it, but they did get notification that it was in final edits. So really, really crossing my fingers and optimistic that we're going to start seeing at least maybe like a panel established so that they can decide, you know, what facilities have the capability to do this research? Right. What doctors do we have that can do this research? What type of, you know, population groups do we want to make sure to be inclusive of? Oncology for toxic exposure, chronic pain, so on and so forth.
You know, we've talked to a number of people about this issue, one of whom comes directly to mind, and that's Congressman Dom Bacon, who's a retired Air Force general, who is not a fan of marijuana, but even he wants it to be, one, a states' rights issue when it comes to the legality of it for just everyday use, and when it comes to medical use, he wants it looked at least to figure out if it is beneficial or not. I mean, even if the majority of politicians who are not pro-marijuana are open to that, it would seem that it should be a done deal, yet we still have some roadblocks in the way. One of them, I believe, is the Attorney General, who has some very, very strong opinions on it. I don't know what exactly those are based in, but, you know, I hope that your optimism is good, and I hope that you're right, but I'm just not sure, and there seems to be a lot of questions about where it's going to go in the near future. But I think if we look at it in the extended future, at some point, I think I know where this is going to end up, and that's going to be certainly that it's legal for medicinal use and the VA will be able to look at it. Do you think that's a foregone conclusion, even if it's not going to happen in the next days, weeks, or months?
I mean, we have to wait for the research to actually come out. My personal opinion aside, right, we need to have federal, right? Federal research is like having the golden stamp. Yes, there's tons of state research. Yes, other countries have done research, but we need our federal research to put a golden stamp and see what it's actually effective for. Because I will say different states' research really varies. You know, you'll have one state that says, yes, this is effective for PTSD, which personally I think it would be incredibly difficult to empirically prove. And then you have other states that say, no, doesn't seem to be that effective for it, which honestly I can kind of understand because things such as PTSD are so individualized, right? And it's on essentially a spectrum. So I do foresee us utilizing whatever the research says. So if the research says, yes, this is great for cancer patients, or yes, this is great for chronic pain, things that most states are already, you know, in agreement that it is beneficial for, then we'll have to talk about, you know, if we should be declassing it with DEA and making it federally legal to prescribe. But as of now, VA, like I said, they already have the authority. So whether it's a partisan issue, which I'm finding it's becoming more and more bipartisan, it doesn't really matter because we don't need Congress for it, right?
Exactly. Well, we're speaking with the Associate Director for the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Legislative Service, Kata Keller, who's also a Marine Corps and Operation Enduring Freedom veteran herself. Now, Kata, as we come towards the end of the calendar year and the end of this session of Congress, essentially before a break that's coming up, what are the big legislative items that the VFW is keeping an eye on that you think might get done that affect veterans in the next, in the coming weeks, essentially?
Well, the number one piece of legislation we're watching and is keeping me up late at night right now is community care. Currently, VA has multiple community care programs, right? Your Choice, PC3, and other ones. We're looking to, one, make Choice permanent, and two, consolidate all of those community care programs together so there's just one permanent program. We're looking to make changes to Choice, so that essentially the decision of if a veteran patient is going to use VA or if it be sent out to the community, that should be a patient-provider decision. It shouldn't have arbitrary, you know, guidelines on how to decide if a veteran's going to go out and see a private practice doctor that's partnered with VA. And again, we're trying to make the program permanent, so that'll be really big. We're hoping to get some legislation passed by the end of the year. That might be a little optimistic, so maybe in January at the latest, but that's our number one thing that we're watching right now.
Definitely important things, and the VFW is doing important work to make sure that not only their membership, but the veteran community at large is spoken for and taken care of. And Kata, let's talk about your involvement with the VSOs and those people who are, you know, interested in the same types of things that you're talking about, but maybe don't know exactly how they might be able to put that interest to use in benefiting their fellow veterans. For someone who's risen to the post that you have as the Associate Director of National Legislative Service for the VFW, if someone's looking to get involved in helping out their fellow vets by working within the legislative world, working within the military and veteran activist world, how would you recommend they go about doing that as far as like a first step?
So there's a few options. One, they could join the VFW if they really want. And we have a legislative committee, and we'll actually fly them in twice a year if they get selected to be on that committee. Each state or department, we also have overseas departments, has their own team. And then there's other ways, right? You can apply to do fellowships. VFW and SBA have a fellowship that applications are closed for this upcoming year, but we work with student veterans who are veterans of foreign wars as well. And we work with them on a legislative proposal, and then we will eventually fly them into D.C. for our big legislative congress conference, where we testify to both the House and Senate at the same time. They can get college credit. One of our fellows, his proposal actually got passed in the law last year, so he's doing better at my job than I am, probably. and then there is other groups. There's groups such as, High Ground Veterans Advocacy. They have fellowships. That's actually a good friend of mine who started that group. There's Hill Vets, where they help veterans get placement for jobs and fellowships and internships where they get paid too, on Capitol Hill. So there's lots of options.
You know, there certainly are, and there are a lot of different roads that a veteran can travel to get to where they feel like they need to be able to help out their veterans. But it's great that there are the veteran service organizations out there. And, you know, for those who aren't eligible for membership in the VFW, there are many other ones that they are eligible for membership in if they are a veteran. So, you know, there are certainly different ways to look at that. Well, we've been speaking to Kata Keller, and Kata is the Associate Director for the VFW's National Legislative Service, talking about about these legislative issues out there. And the last thing I want to finish on, Kata, my goodness, I'm sorry about that. Mixing Kata and Kelleher together, you get Kayla sometimes. I'm sure you hear it every once in a while. You know, as we look at the opioid crisis and as it relates to the veteran community, the ties to mental health, the ties to the suicide issues that we have in the military, I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to focus on right now. Where do you think veterans should go if they want to find out more information about the opioid issue and any legislation that they might be able to, you know, contact a congressman or something like that if they have, they want to make sure that their voice gets heard on that?
Well, if they're looking for general education about opioids and VA, I would suggest just a simple Google search of the Opioid Safety Initiative with Department of Veterans Affairs, and that will bring them up to date and lay out and explain exactly what VA is doing to bring the numbers down for opioid prescribing and over-medication. If they have anything more specific, I might regret this, but hopefully my inbox doesn't flood too much. Feel free to shoot me an email. You can email me at kkelleher@vfw.org.
And that is the email address for her. And of course, the website is vfw.org. Whether you are eligible to be a member of the VFW or not, there's something on that website for you. And Kata, I'm sure you know about this, that the VFW has the service officers that are willing to help out any veteran, whether they're a VFW member or not, eligible for the VFW or not. The VFW is not just for veterans of foreign wars, is it?
No, we're there for all veterans. You know, we don't care if you got a general discharge, if you never deployed, if you served during peacetime, if you did deploy and you just went to a non-combat zone. We're there to help all veterans. We like to say that every day at the VFW is Veterans Day.
That is very true. And we want to thank Marine Corps veteran, Operation Enduring Freedom veteran, and current associate director for the VFW's National Legislative Service, Kata Kelleher, for joining us this morning. Kata, thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving, since it's less than a week away.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.